if we want to overcome the darkness in our lives, the darkness that creeps in, the things that we struggle with, the things that are hard for us, we have to be willing to do something, to change something, to try something different.
And I'm convinced that the human spirit was not designed to simply maintain normal. Somewhere along the line, we forget that our job wasn't to maintain normal. Our job was to step into an unprecedented future where God continually presses us into what's next.
God will never ask you to respond to a call that doesn't already speak to the best part of you, the part of you that was designed for greatness, that deep down knows that there is something more.
Hey, and welcome to the Mosaic Pomona podcast. I hope that you enjoy this week's talk and want to invite you to join us live on Sundays at 10 a.m. at the Glasshouse Concert Hall in beautiful downtown Pomona. Or you can join the conversation at www.mosaicpomona.org. You can also download the Mosaic Pomona app on iTunes or Android and keep up with the conversation and community there. If you would like to financially support this podcast and the ongoing movement at Mosaic Pomona, visit us online at mosaicpomona.org/give or check out the giving option on the Mosaic app. Enjoy this week's talk. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Mosaic. How you doing?
Great.
Awesome. My name is Nathan. I'm our lead pastor. So excited to have you here. We're in the middle of a conversation that we're calling Disciple, taking a look at what it means to be a follower of Jesus and living a life that's worth following. When we talk about this word disciple, it's not oftentimes a word that we use on a regular basis. In fact, it's something that it's almost archaic, but it's a word that means an apprentice, a learner, someone who's a student of something. And we've been in this conversation of what it looks like to be a student, an apprentice, a follower, a disciple of God, and the characteristics that come with that. So before we dive in this morning, let's pause and let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you are so good and that your goodness is constant. It's overwhelming, God. Would you teach us what it's like to be a disciple, a follower of your goodness, God, of your love and your mercy, your kindness, God. And as we follow you, would you transform us into the people and the community that you've dreamed for us to be, God. We thank you that you love us right where we're at, and then you love us enough to call us to the next level of what's available and how you long for us to be with you, God. We thank you for your kindness and your mercy. We thank you that you give yourself fully, and we receive all of that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we talked a few weeks ago about how every single one of us were designed to actually be in this space of disciple. If you're breathing, you've been a disciple of something, whether it's reading, writing, and arithmetic, whether it's a career, whether it's a hobby, whether it's a sport that you've been a part of, that you have been a disciple, a learner, an apprentice of something in your life. We were designed to both follow and to lead, and any great leader will tell you who they're currently following. Even the greatest leaders on the planet will let you know who they're currently following and who they're currently being instructed by and informed by and moved by, because there is something inside of us that we know we must follow. And we live in a follow me generation. I mean, that's what we like. What we talk about, even like when we meet each other. Oh, hey, follow me on Instagram, right? Follow me on Facebook, right? Whatever it may be, because we long to be followed. That's a part of our drive. I think it's a God-given drive, that there's a long for us to have influence and to have people follow us. The question is, who are we following that's actually creating a life worth following that others would step into? Who's transforming us, creating a life in us that is actually worth following and finding ourselves in that space? See, because you actually have to create a life worth following before you actually ask others to follow you. And it begins what we talked about a few weeks ago with lordship. Not if you have a Lord, but who is your Lord? Because we as human beings were designed for lordship. We were designed to have someone govern over us. And I know we don't like that idea. But if you look at just human societies, we always arrange ourselves with some type of government that oversees us. I know, I personally have this fantasy that anarchy would actually work. I mean, in my head, if I was to actually ask you, like, what are my authentic political views, it would be anarchy. But I know that doesn't work, right? I know that doesn't work because a society where everyone does what they want doesn't actually work, right? We actually have someone has to set the rules and set the boundaries and set the playing field by which we interact with one another. It's never actually turned out. It's always been a nice idea because the human spirit actually longs for something to be Lord or someone to be Lord. And here's the thing. If you don't choose who your Lord is, something will Lord over you. Something will gladly take that place. And usually it's not a place of beauty and hope. Usually when we do not choose our Lord, what chooses us is darkness and hopelessness and destruction. And we find ourselves down a path. We talked about how no one lives life on autopilot and it moves them towards like a place of beauty and hope and openness, right? We get on autopilot. It always moves us towards despair and destruction and hopelessness and darkness. But Jesus invites us to be his disciples. And he says, in that process, as you make me Lord, I will actually set you free. That's his invitation to us. And every other Lord is looking to master you in some way, shape, or form. But his invitation is come follow me. Make me Lord. Make me head over everything in your life. And my goal is to actually set you free in the middle of that. And when we choose him, we find life every single time. And last week, I heard that my wife gave an amazing talk. I think, yes. So, and we talked last week about how love is the defining characteristic of a follower of Jesus. That the scriptures say, you will know you are my disciples, my followers, my apprentices, if you actually love one another. And we have to ask ourselves, is our love expanding? Is it growing as a result of being connected to God? Or do I find myself more shut down, longing to withhold, to isolate, to withdraw? Where do we find ourselves in the midst of all of those things? Because it's important to ask ourselves those questions as we step into that space. Love's an interesting thing because that word is almost deceptive at times. Because we use love for all kinds of things, don't we? Like this morning, I got up and I said, I love coffee. And then my wife gave me a kiss and I said, I love you, right? As if coffee and my wife were on the same playing field, right? We say, I love my car, I love my dogs, I love my children, I love frozen yogurt, right? But we use love to describe a whole gamut of things in life, and it can almost be deceptive in how we actually use that. You know, the Eskimos actually have 50 different words for the word snow. Because that's the context they live in. And so they have all kinds of words to describe the snow that's actually falling down. They have words that describe it as giant chunks of ice falling from the sky. They have another word that means, oh, it's that soft, fluttery stuff. They have other words that means like it's a storm out there. 50 different words for the word snow. And the more distinct their language becomes, the more distinct they understand what's going on, the more power they have to decipher what's taking place around them. There's something powerful that comes when our language gets more specific. And the problem is that we have no standard for love, oftentimes, outside of our own subjective opinion about what love is. We don't actually often look to a standard for love outside of our own opinions, experiences, thoughts, feelings in the area. And oftentimes what we do is we make love mean whatever it means for me. That's what it should mean for you over there. That if this is how I receive love, then that's how you should receive love over there. Which is why when we're quote unquote loving them and they say, I'm not actually getting your love, we're shocked, right? Because we're like, by my definition, I am loving you. And there is something wrong with you over there that you're not getting this love that I'm just pouring out. Give till it hurts, right? And then give some more. And so that's where we find ourselves at times in this definition. And while we resist it like the plague at times, it is actually helpful to have some type of plumb line for reality, for what is true, for what is actual, for what is actually taking place in the physical universe around us, in reality, in the world around us. A gauge that informs us that we aren't crazy and that we're not about to run off a cliff. Have you ever felt something? You're like, am I just crazy right now? I'm the only one that's ever thought that. Anyone ever thought that before?
Yes.
Okay, just checking. I want to make sure. All right, so it's okay if it's just me. I just want to make sure because I often, right, then I was like, am I crazy? Right? So, oftentimes we'll make a decision or we'll feel something. We'll think, am I crazy? Or how many of you ever have been like living in a certain way and you've had this thought, I think I'm about to fall off a cliff. Not physically, but metaphysically, but like metaphorically. Have you ever thought that way? Yeah. Like you've been making decisions and you're like, I feel like a cliff is coming and I'm about to fall off, but I'm not sure. See, without some type of plumb line for reality, for truth, you never know if you're about to fall off a cliff. It could be tomorrow, it could be tomorrow, and it may never be coming. And you never know if you're actually crazy or you're sane or you're actually living in a space of reality. Without some type of plumb line, standard, baseline, foundation for what is true, we find ourselves in a constant state of chaos. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. If you need a copy of the scriptures, you can raise your hand. One of our team members will get you one of those things. One of those things meaning a Bible, all right? So turn with me to Proverbs chapter 21, starting in verse 2. So if you need a copy, you can raise your hand, and one of our team will get you one of those. But in Proverbs 21, starting in verse 2, I love this Proverbs. It says, a person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. Let me say that again. A person may think that their own ways are right, but the Lord looks at the heart. Isn't it crazy how most of the thoughts that you think, you assume that they're right? Yep. Have you thought that? Yeah. I've never had an opinion that I didn't think I was right about. I've never had a thought about the reality, about the world around me, that I didn't think that I was absolutely right about. Now, I do have other things that I'm a little questioned about, but the majority of my opinions, of my positions, of my judgments, about my thoughts, I actually assume that I am making the right choice. Isn't it strange that every choice you make seems right in your eyes, even the ones that you know are going to be a bad decision, you find some way to justify them in the moment. Have you found yourself there before? You're making a decision and you're like, I know this is gonna end right, wrong. I know this is gonna be bad for me. But in that moment, you do everything you can to justify stepping into that space, right? My wife and I went to the LA County Fair on Wednesday evening, and I am wishy-washy on the fair. I'm not super excited about it, but I'm a sucker for those pavilions where they sell junk, right? I'm a sucker for I'm like the guy who's like the infomercials. I'm like, we have to have that. And it's like warehouses filled with infomercials, right? And so we always find ourselves buying stuff. And after we had already bought like bamboo sheets and we had bought like mink oil for your skin and all this other stuff, we come to this table and this guy's selling hummingbird feeders, right? They're like the best hummingbird feeders on the planet. He told me this, right? They're made of carbon, and he's like hitting it with a hammer. They'll never break, and how easy they are to refill. And he gets to the pitch, and he's like, I'm like, how much are they? He's like, $35. Now, in my head, I'm like, I can go to Walmart and get one of these for $2.99. And this is a stupid decision. But in that moment, I was like, sure, I'll take one, right? I'm like, we're going to have hummingbirds, honey. They're going to be all over the backyard. It's going to be like the secret garden, right? And as I'm handing over my credit card, I'm like, I don't need a $35 hummingbird feeder at all. This is silly. But for some reason, in the moment, I'm like, here you go, sir. And now we're broke, right? Because of the hummingbird feeder. And in that moment, I was like, this is a bad idea. But see, humans have a natural ability, this natural talent for making bad decisions look good in the moment. We have just a natural proclivity for that, of making bad decisions feel good, look good in the moment. We can justify them in any way, shape, or form, which tells us that we ourselves are a bad standard plumb line foundation for truth. We are a horrible foundation for what is true, what is real out there in the universe around us. See, if we are committed to live a life of freedom, then our own opinions, thoughts, beliefs, emotions are a bad place to base reality off of, which equally means that others are a bad standard to base reality off of as well. Because sometimes I think, well, I'm way off, but they seem like they have their act together, and guess what? They are equally as off as you and me. So they make an equally poor place to gauge reality from in that space. And see, a disciple of Jesus knows that God has a standard of truth for us and that it's found in the scriptures. And a follower, a disciple, an apprentice of Jesus takes the scriptures as the plumb line, the standard, the foundation by which we gauge reality around us. Now, I know that truth in our society is like a four-letter word. We do not like this idea of truth. It is not, we rub against it, we bristle against it. Trust me, I even bristle up against it at times because we don't like this idea. Because in our society, we like to have this idea that you can have your truth, I can have my truth, they can have their truth, and let's all coexist together in one space. And you know what I found? Is that people are totally cool with that until my truth inflicts on your truth. Until my truth suddenly becomes, well, I'm poor, so I'm gonna rob your house, right? I remember I was sitting with a young woman who was struggling, who was struggling with this idea of why there must be a standard for truth and a plumb line for what is real in the world around us. And I remember we were sitting at like an Irish pub type place and we were talking through that. And halfway through, I just grabbed her purse and walked out of the restaurant. She looked at me and said, excuse me. And I said, I'm taking your purse. She goes, where are you taking it? I was like, I don't know, it's mine now. And she gets furious. She's like, no, that's not your purse. I get all the way out to the parking lot, almost into my car, and I said, no, my truth is that I need your money in your purse right now. I need your cell phone. I can sell that. I need your keys because I need your car. And I said, that's my truth right now. I said, no, that can't be your truth because it inflicts with my truth. And I was like, oh, so you're okay with having two truths. Until my truth conflicts with your truth, and then it's no longer okay in the middle of that. So, see, as long as it doesn't hurt anyone, then we think we're okay. But when does conflicting truth not hurt someone? It always will end up hurting someone in the end. See, we're okay with the society that has subjective truth until it affects us, or until it affects someone we know, or until it affects someone around us, and it will always affect us, and it will always affect someone around us that we love or know. But the fact of the matter is that there are objective truths every day that we rely on, that we have to have for our own sanity. Could you imagine a world where we actually didn't believe that gravity was going to be available to us in the morning? Like as if gravity somehow just shut off at times and people sucked out into the universe, right? Could you imagine living going like, is it happening today? Okay, we're good. I think we're good. All right, we're still stuck to the ground. This is awesome, right? That would be a horrible world to not have that objective truth that gravity is working. Could you imagine waking up in the morning going, oh good, there's still oxygen in the room, right? We have to have some type of objective truth. I mean, it would be bizarre if there wasn't an exact sunrise, an exact sunset. It's amazing to me that we can predict that every single day to the second when the sun's going to rise and when the sun's going to set. It's not like a guessing game. Could you imagine a world in which the sun rose and set at its own pace? Like you're just driving along and all of a sudden, darkness. Turn on the lights, dang it, I forgot my flashlight. Here I'm going to whatever maybe. I mean, it would be chaos. But the fact of the matter is that God has actually created a truthful rhythm to the universe that we can rely on every single time. We know when tides come in and come out. We know when seasons are going to change and seasons aren't going to change. We know when the sun is going to rise and we know when the sun's going to set. We know harvest is coming and when it's not coming. We know when planets are moving and when they are not moving. We know that there is a truth to this world that creates stability so we know how to live. And if God created a universe based on this rhythm of truth for us, then we are always either living in truth or living out a lie. Always. Those are your only two options. You are either living in objective truth or you are actually living out a lie that you have bought into in some way, shape, or form. And see, this is why I think Jesus says to you, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Jesus talks a lot about love, but he didn't say you will know love and love will set you free. He says you will know truth. You will know the objective reality that I have sown into the fabric of the universe so you know the exact game that you're playing and you know how to win and that in that you will be set free because there's no guessing game in this life when you are connected intimately to the truth. See, there isn't like a, I'm wondering if this is the right way or I'm wondering if this is how I should live or I'm wondering if this decision will move me into hopelessness and darkness and despair. There is a foundation that is set and created in the middle of that. And the scriptures create that for us. See, disciples of Jesus long to not only know the truth, but then to align our lives with it so that we can actually be set free. so that we can find freedom in this life. See, it's one thing to declare Jesus as master, Lord, ruler, like we talked about 2 weeks ago, and what it practically means to live in his truth. And see, we can know that it is true because it is always good, because that's who God is, that he is always working out truth for the sake of our goodness. See, because we actually know how it ends, that in the end, goodness, it's what's created as a result of following truth in our lives. Everything else moves us towards hopelessness. See, the question that you have to ask yourselves is this: what informs the majority of my decisions? What informs the majority of the decisions that you make on a regular basis? And if it's you, I'm sorry, but you're probably gonna do a really poor job at playing God. I know we like that, we love that idea, right? We are madly in love with the idea that at some level we could do an equal job to what God's already up to, but we see in our own lives our justification for making bad decisions, and it disqualifies us from stepping into that space. Ever made your feelings the gauge by which you make reality change or decisions in reality? They shift and move at a moment's notice. So if you're relying on your feelings to make decisions in life, you will constantly find yourself in flux. It is dangerous, physically, emotionally, spiritually, to make decisions and to actually have feelings be your gauge for reality and truth around us. My son, Jackson, he just turned 10 months old, and he's starting to learn words, which is very exciting. And one of the words that he is very clear about is no. He has learned no really fast. And he's also a very fast crawler. And so when we put Jackson down on the ground, he starts crawling right away. And he goes like a beeline to one location every single time, and that is the dog food. He loves the dog food. I don't know what it is. He's like, he's playing in the water bowl. It's gross. But we put him down, and he starts beelining to the dog food, and we say no. And this is what Jackson does at 10 months old. No one's taught him this. We have not instilled this in him, surely. He looks at us, and he turns around, and he starts crawling as fast as he can towards that dog bowl, because he knows that we are going to jump up out of the sofa and intercept him and grab that bowl before he can get it every single time. But every single time we say no, he turns around and looks at us and goes full force towards it. See, here's the thing. Our human default, without even being taught, is to rage against a guiding voice of truth. That is our human default. See, I imagine that God is speaking his truth over us, not to lord over us, but saying like, hey, if you get that dog food in your mouth, you are going to choke again, and it is not going to be pretty, right? And we're like, heck no, give me that dog food, right? Whatever it may be in your own life. The things that we want, the things that we think are better than, the things that we know better than, the things that we think are going to bring us happiness and fulfillment and joy based on our own feelings and ideas and thoughts, we run full force towards them. Meanwhile, God's saying no, not for the sake of holding you back, but for the sake of stepping into that space with you. See, God actually set up a universe based on truth so that we could know the path to get out from under destruction, so we could no longer be ruled by them. And see, once again, it comes down to an attitude of heart. If you haven't caught this, being a disciple all comes down to an attitude of heart. It all comes down to, will I listen to his voice, and will I follow his words above all other words in the middle of this? See, because when we find ourselves living in a lie, it shifts the reality that we know to be true. It shifts the atmosphere that we live in. See, because one of the truths that God speaks over is that you are worthy, and that you are beloved, and that you are chosen, and that you are a royal priesthood set aside as higher than, taken out from the junk in your life, that you are made new, transformed, put up on a high place with him. That is the truth that he is attempting to speak over you. But then oftentimes we like to play with these lies of, well, I'm less than, and I'm not good enough, and I'm never gonna be able to. And we live out of these lies, and we fail to actually step into the fullness that he has for us. See, the truth isn't just a bunch of do nots. It's also a bunch of this is the fullness of who you are called to be. You can clap for that, right? The fullness of who you are called to be. This is the truth of who you are. And I don't care what lie you want to tell about yourself. I don't care what lie someone spoke over you. I don't care where you find yourself in. You need to align yourself to the truth that I am attempting to speak over you. And allow that to be the gauge, the plumb line by which you live out your life. See, it shifts everything for us. This is the power of being a disciple of a God that is good. Now, this doesn't just affect us directly. It also shows up in how we relate to one another. See, because we think truth is just about me, but it's actually about how we connect to one another. I need two volunteers. Come on up. Two volunteers. All right, there we go. All right, I actually need someone without glasses. Sorry. Come on up. You can stand right here. All right. Come on up, bro. All right. So you stand right here. You stand right here. And now I'm going to give you some glasses to put on. All right. So I'm going to give you some. These are very cool glasses. Here, I'm going to ask you to put these on. I'm going to pass you. Ask you to put these on. Stay right there, right where you're at. All right. Right there. You can put them on. Go ahead. Put them on right there where you're at. See, we all have a lens of truth that we see the world through, right? I have my glasses on. I see the world through this truth, right? When I take them off, everything is very different. But now I see the world through a very different set of lenses. These lenses inform us of what's good, bad, right, wrong. They inform us of what's healthy, what's vile, of what's beautiful, of what's destructive. And we are filled with all kinds of truths in these lenses that affect how we see the world and how we see each other, all right? And let's say that God is in the process of clearing our lenses so that what we actually see is his reality on the other side. The problem is that we actually can't see reality on the other side because the lenses that we have on distort the truth. They distort what is actually taking place. So let's just do a little experiment between the two of you. I'm going to hold up a piece of paper with your glasses on, all right? What color is this piece of paper?
Blue.
Blue. He says blue, all right? Everyone laugh at him. All right. What color is this piece of paper?
That's white.
What are you seeing?
I see red.
All right, he sees red. Yeah. Now, this is a great example, right? We know what's true. Even when we're seeing red, right? Even we're like, it looks red. Have you ever been there in life? We're like, that looks like a bad decision, but I know it's God's goodness over there for me. That looks like a horrible decision. Now, Amos.
Yes.
What do you think about this guy that's calling this red?
He's trying to be politically correct.
He's trying to be politically correct, right? We're playing politically correct games over here. What do you think about this guy over here that's calling this blue? No comment, right? Now, how likely are you to be in relationship and connected to friends with him over there?
Oh yeah, he's crazy.
He's crazy, right? He's crazy over there because he sees this as blue, right? And what do you think about if I'm like, hey man, I want to introduce you to him, be friends, business partner, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. That's cool.
We just can't use paper.
All right, thank you guys so much. I'll take your glasses. Give them a big round of applause. Because, see, this is what happens in life, is that there is this reality that God's attempting to show us, like, hey, here is truth. And meanwhile, we have lenses on that are informing us of all kinds of different things. And we look at one another and we say, that can't be true over there because I see differently than you. And that can't be true over there because I see different than you. We call this family, right? We call this Thanksgiving, since it's coming up and we're going to prepare for it already. See, here's the thing, is that when we live outside of the standard of truth that God has for us, we start seeing not only the world around us and ourselves, but we start seeing one another through tainted truth. We start seeing lies over one another. And then if I see the world as red and they see the world as blue, then obviously they're wrong. By the way, this is what produces systematic racism, prejudice, and war in the world. This is why this is a spiritual matter just as much as it's a political matter, because it's a change of heart and truth that must be addressed before anything else. See, here's the thing. We pick up these lenses, these beliefs, these truths, and we hold them dear as our lives, and then we view others through them. So dad left when I was a kid, and so now I can't trust anyone else out here. And so now my lens, when I look out through the world, I see everyone else is a little dangerous because they're probably going to leave me. When we look out at the world, mom was emotionally disconnected and she wasn't really there for me when I was growing up. So now when we look out at the world, we just say, hey, I gotta protect myself. I can't really be vulnerable with one another. Someone took advantage of you when you were young, and so now when you look out at the world, you see a bunch of impossibilities to trust. Someone took something from you when you were young, you loved and were let down. And so now when you look out through the world, your lens says, do not love another person, do not give your heart away, because you will just end up in heartache over and over again. See, this is not a philosophical conversation. This is an attitude of heart of, am I willing to subject my truth to the truth of God so that I can actually begin seeing reality for what it is? It's a lordship issue, not a truth issue. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. In other words, where there is no truth, where there is no vision, where God's reality is not invading our hearts, we cast off restraint. But blessed are the people who heeds wisdom. The question that you have to ask is, who is informing your reality? Not just about you, not just about the world around you, but about the people that you are designed to be in relationship with. See, if how we see is the capital T truth, then there is absolutely no hope for transformation or anything new. There is no possibility for faith or having something bigger or having something brand new take place in your life, because this is just the way it is. Because guess what? Newsflash, your past experiences are not changing. They're there. They're concrete. They are set in stone. But how many of you feel stuck at times in some cyclical pattern in your life? How many of you find yourself areas that just feels like, I find myself in the same pattern over and over again? I keep dating the same person, they just have different heads. I keep having the same breakdown, but just with different bodies, right? I keep having the same arguments with people, and they just keep flooding over and over and over again, and I can't seem to get a hold of it. See, all that means is there is just still some spiritual lie attempting to work its way out of your system. Attempting to work its way out. There is a truth that God is attempting to interject that we would rather hold on to the lie than step into the truth that he has for us. And it will affect every single other relationship that you find yourself in. Every single one. But what I love is that here is the hope in Jesus. Is that if we follow him and take on his truth, he says, your past is irrelevant because my reality is greater. That's what he says. He says, your past is irrelevant because my current reality is greater. The truth I speak is louder. The truth I speak is stronger. The truth I speak over breaks off chains from the past and allows you to step into something brand new, which is why I love this verse. It's always perplexing to me. In John 17:17, it says, sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. That word sanctify means to be made new, to continually be made more and more like God. If you want to be made more and more like God, here's what it takes. It doesn't take longer prayer meetings. It doesn't take you being in your word longer. It might, but it doesn't take you stepping into like, hey, I'm going to do more. I'm going to serve more. I'm going to give more. You know what it requires? More truth. And taking the truth that you already know about who you are and who God is and begin fleshing it out in your life. Because when you begin fleshing that out in your life will become more and more like God. No longer informed by the past and feelings and experiences, but being grounded in the reality that he has right here in front of us. One of my favorite passages of scripture is found in Psalms 119:32, and it says this. It says, I run in the path of your commands, for my heart is free. It says, you have broadened my understanding. I run in the path of your commands. Now me, with my natural inclination towards anarchy, I don't often think about commands as the greatest context for running free. Right. Do you? I mean, when I think of freedom, I'm like, let's cast off all the restraints. Let's just go for it, right? But what I love is that what God is saying is that I am attempting to bring you into a context where you can see reality clearly. No longer are you guessing about the landmines that are around your life. You can see them. There's one, there's one, there's one. No longer are you guessing about the cliffs. Well, that's over there, that's over there, that's over there. Got it clear. You're no longer guessing about the things that are going to bring you towards destruction and hopelessness. You can see them. And so now that they're brought into the light, now that the truth has brought its light into your life, guess what? You are free to run further, faster, harder than before. You are free to run because his commands have set you free. You are no longer held captive. That's a good word, all right? See, it's a beautiful thing that we have the scriptures. Basically, because the scriptures become the foundation for the reality that we live in. They are love letters of truth. And a disciple is in love with the love letters of God, which is why he says to hide them in your heart, to meditate on them day and night, to chew them like food, to allow them to become like fire in your bones, to allow them to become the light unto your feet when it feels dark and a light and lamp unto your path, that they become the plumb line by which everything else is gauged. And I find it interesting in closing that in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's interesting that Jesus actually describes himself as truth. Not like, I am the way, the Almighty. I'm the light. He doesn't say, I am the way, the loving one, and the light. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because it starts with connecting to him and allowing his voice to inform every single other voice in your life, allowing his word that he's given you to inform and quiet every other voice in your life, to allow his truth and his reality to invade every other reality and atmosphere and principality that you have in your life and bringing it under that, to silence it so that you could actually run free in his paths. See, if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, you have to be in love with his truth because his truth allows you to see reality clearly. And it allows you to run because that's what you were designed to do. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads with me real fast? For some of you, I want to give you the opportunity to connect to Jesus today because he is the God who is truth. Just like we just read, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. For some of you, you may have never connected to him. Maybe this is your very first time even stepping into a conversation like this and you're saying, man, I'm ready for a reality change. I'm tired of having the same problems. I'm tired of going through the same things. I'm tired of being uncertain about my future. This is your opportunity for something brand new. So if that's you today, if you say, I need Jesus, I need to connect to Jesus. Maybe you have been away for a while. Would you just raise your hand, no one looking around? Say, today I choose Jesus. Yeah, who else? Who else in the room? Awesome. Now I want to ask you another question. I want you to just ask the question, where in my life have I been believing lies that are not the truth of God? Maybe you've been believing lies over yourself, about who you are, about your future, about your present circumstances, about what's possible and not possible. Maybe you've just known what is true, like the commands that God has called you into around how to keep your life pure and whole and healthy and good, and you've just been resisting those in rebellion or wanting to choose your own way, and you're tired of falling flat every single time. If that's you and you're just like, yeah, I have lies at times, I believe, would you just raise your hand with no one looking around? Yeah, all over the room. Who else? Who else just is like, I got lies that I believe about myself, about my future. I want to pray right now for you. And I want to just pray a prayer that the truth of God would become so near and clear to you right now. And that his presence would come in a powerful way and that you would be able to see reality clearly for who you are. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would take captive every lie that has had a stronghold in the minds and the hearts of people. God, would you take back every place that truth was meant to fill that has been distorted by another conversation that was never meant to be ours in the first place? About ourselves, about who you are, about our future, God. We cancel every lie because we know that they belong to the father of lies, our enemy, and that is not of you. God, teach us to love your truth. We speak truth over this place. We speak your word over this place. God, may we become passionate followers of your voice, of your scriptures, Father, that we may see reality clearly. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's talk. Join us next week for a new conversation or download the Mosaic Pomona app to continue interacting with the Mosaic Pomona community. Thanks and have a great week.